Alrighty, so we're doing Romans, amen. Romans chapter 9. Alright, let's pray. Lord, I love you, Lord, and I just thank you, Lord, for being so good to me, Lord. I just thank you for my church, Lord. I just thank you for my pastor, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord. Please, God, just help me to use scripture with scripture, Lord, and just say what the book says, Lord. Please, God, help it not to be in vain, Lord. I know in our flesh we're proud that we're here on a Sunday morning when we could be doing other things, Lord, but it means nothing if we don't try to live it throughout the week. Please, God, help us to see what your word says, Lord. This is a love letter from you to us, Lord. Help us to take it to heart and live it, not be fake. Help us to be real. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's the point of even reading the Bible, amen, if you're not going to do something about it? So the video guy up there, Derek West, taught me something years ago. When you buy something, it comes with directions. Yeah. And for years, I didn't need any stinking directions. I can figure it out. It took a lot longer. It usually didn't get put together the right way. And there were pieces missing, or left over, I should say, when I got done. But boy, did I feel good that I did something, I thought. A few weeks, a few months, a few years, when it all fell apart, oh, this piece of junk. But really, the problem was me, because I didn't follow the directions. Then Derek showed me how to stop and take a few minutes and read the directions. And at first, I would just kind of glance at it. Just kind of peek at the directions real quick. Things got a little bit better. But they didn't get all the way better. Things would still fall apart over time or break, or when they broke, I didn't understand why it broke. It's because I wasn't serious about following the directions. You know, sometimes it was, oh, here comes my wife. Let me grab the directions here. Look at them, Tiff. This one's going to stay together, amen. So whether it's a toy or a shed or a gun or anything, if you don't follow directions, things are going to fall apart and something's going to get hurt, amen. So this book is how God speaks to us. No, brother, you don't understand. God comes into my room every night and he has all these wings and he tells me what I'm going to do tomorrow. No, that's not God, amen. That's a devil, or macaroni, I guess, as the Mormons call them, Moroni. So we're going over Romans 9. So last week we went over verse 1, and we talked about truth, lie, and conscience, amen. We really could stay there for a year, and it would help all of us, amen. But let's go ahead and read Romans 9, and then we'll go into some other verses, amen. So Romans 9, we're going to start at verse 1 and start reading, amen. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are of the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, is it not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy? For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, what hast thou made me thus? Why hast thou made me thus? Sorry. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it will come to pass that in that place where it is said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and had been like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles would follow not after unrighteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. So let's go back to the beginning of Romans 9. Why do I always read the chapter? A, because some of you in here, that's the only Bible you're getting. Amen. So you can say we read a chapter. Amen. Because I know with life and marriage and TV and games and sleep and food and all those pleasures that we put the book down a lot. So I always tell the kids in class that we speak to God through prayer. You can pray it with your lips. You can pray it in your head, but you got to mean it in your heart. God speaks to us by his word. You cannot complain about really anything in this life if you're not reading the book, the Bible, because all the answers are in here. I don't believe there's any errors or mistakes. I believe there's quite a few things I don't understand. There's a lot I don't like that if I had the power, I'd change it because I don't like what it says and how it makes me feel. It's all about that, amen. But let's go to verse 2, Romans 9, 2. That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. So this is Paul, and we're going to go through in the next few verses and see that Paul really cares about his people. He really cares about his family. But Paul's not called to deal with them directly. He can deal with them in passing. Paul's called to go to the Gentiles. The Bible says he's the ambassador to the Gentiles. So whenever I'm trying to prepare something, I think of my church and myself, and I try to relay it, and of course, with the way I was taught and the things I was done. So I like all this here because it's going to be offensive to some of you. So I can compare it to a story. So most of you know we're doing chickens now, so we're having fun with that. We don't just get paid on the chickens and on the poundage. There's a tournament system. All the other farms that week, like 25 or 35 farms, they get graded, not just by pounds, but how much fuel and feed, and the big companies, Mount Air, Purdue, and all those, they rate them. And you get maybe a small bonus if you place in the top, you know, 5 or 6. So the Lord blessed us this last flock, and we placed third place. And my service tech called me up to tell me, and I gave him a hard time. Because in school right now, everybody's a winner, and everybody feels like they deserve first place, so why don't they give me the first place cash? But that didn't fly with him, because in reality, the truth is, we don't live in a lie, that you're going to get rewarded for what you do. So you're going to get rewarded for what you do, amen, how much time you read and pray and spend in it. So a lot of Christians today have this Joel Osteen attitude. And I'm not going to pick on Joel because I know Brother Joe loves him, but he knows I'm being facetious. He hates him. We don't hate him. We hate what he preaches and what he stands for. We want him to get saved and do right because he can reach a lot of people. But he's choosing to feel good, and he feels good with that green, amen. That's the only reason he says what he says. But Christians have this thing that, and I've heard Christians witnessing to people, and I want to slap them. When you get saved, everything gets better. No. I can put my head on my pillow because I know where I'm spending eternity. I know I'm not going to burn in hell. I'm going to be in heaven forever when I die. It's gotten better that way, amen. But you know my tire still goes flat? You know people still get sick? You know bills still are a struggle sometimes? Especially when I'm not reading and praying the way I should and I just buy what I want. God gave me this vehicle. God, I wish you'd take the payment, amen. Things are tough sometimes. So Christian thinks things are positive. So here's Paul. Says, I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. So I wanted to look at a couple verses here, and I'm going to call you out to read, so be prepared, amen. Mark 10:31. We're going to go to Mark 10:31. And if I call on you and you're not comfortable reading for whatever reason, just say no thank you. Don't cuss and scream and walk out, and I'll call on someone else. Amen. So Mark 10:31. Some young lady right there in glasses smiling. Wow. So I would apply that to my Christian life as that Christians in this world, we're not going to be first a lot. We're not always going to be the most popular or the most liked person, amen. So it's something to think about. If you can get your mind wrapped around that, that when I hand this person a track or when I share the gospel with somebody at work, they might not like me or might get upset with me, but I don't care. I want them to like me, but I'm going to tell them the truth. So as a Christian, we're not always going to be first in the world. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:6. I'm going to pick on a famous country star, Ricky Nelson. 1 Peter 5:6. He doesn't have his glasses. It makes it fun.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you.
Amen. So, Brother Renee used to always say, and I know Doc and other people said it too, but I've got Brother Renee's voice in my head whenever I read it, that have you been through the Lord's humbling machine lately? Or the spanking machine, amen. It's a lot easier, like Pastor Ryman always says, to think yourself nothing then think yourself something. Because when you're up here and everyone sees you down here and tells you you're down here, boy, do you get your feelings hurt and you get upset quick. But if you tell yourself you're down here and people tell yourself you're down here, you don't get mad. And if they tell yourself you're a little higher, it'll make you smile. That's how you'll feel good, amen. So tell yourself you're nothing and you'll be something. But it's better to humble yourself before God does it. So all this is going to connect in a minute in the next verse when we see what Paul does and chooses to do. So let's go to Luke 6:35. This is a tough one. This has got a lot in it, but I'm only picking one thing out of this verse to talk about right now. Luke 6:35. All right, I'm going to pick on Brother Matthew. Luke 6:35. Amen. I was reading along with him. When he said king, I went right along with it. I read it as king. Amen. So Brother Matthew just read there, but love ye your enemies. That's a tough one. And do good. And it's funny because we don't like to love our enemies, but this next one is the hardest one for most people. And lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Amen. So the Lord's been good to us. So with that, what Doc taught us was, and Brother Donovan, if you want to be rich, give it all away. And that's hard for a Christian. And we can go through what Jesus said to different people. And I know how things apply doctrinally into different time periods and things like that. But spiritually, I can speak from a little bit of experience. I'm still young in the Lord. But whenever the Lord gives us something, we always give back to give the Lord his first, because it is his. And we try to do for others what we can. Now, some people in churches will go out and do certain things because it's to feel good works. It's not why you're supposed to do it. It's supposed to be, ideally, because you're taking care of a brother or sister in Christ, or if someone's lost, you're doing something to show them the love of Christ. So it's not always about us feeling good, because if my wife and I are going to do something kind for somebody and not tell them and leave it on a doorstep, it doesn't usually feel good to us, because that means we're not going to be able to get something we want now. It's a sacrifice. It's like the one with the two mites. If Donald Trump came in and bought someone a car, we'd be all excited, but that'd be nothing for Donald Trump. But for some people in here, things are so tight, if you were to go buy someone groceries and leave it on their doorstep, that'd be a true sacrifice for you. And then you're doing something. So as a Christian, if we can get the mindset, if we want to be rich, then just give it all away. Now, don't give your mortgage payment away. Don't give your rent away. You've got to use some spiritual discernment. I know it's a bad word in churches these days. But you got to read your Bible and pray. And it can't just be a feel-good thing. I'm going to give everything away to get something, because then it doesn't work. It's got to be a heart thing. So it's got to be, Lord, I have a desire. You've laid it on my heart through my prayer and Bible reading to help this person out. Not because I'm going to look good, not because they're going to owe me, but because you want me to do this, Lord. And it's going to be done quietly and properly, and it's going to be a sacrifice for me. Because if I've got $100 in my pocket, giving someone $10 doesn't affect me at all. So we're going to go through and look at all this in a little bit with Paul. So next one is Matthew 10:39. Now, a lot of this is applying to Paul, of course, because of the age he's in. Not all this applies to us doctrinally. We can apply it practically. So, 10:39. See, I'm going to pick on Brother Evans in the back. Oh, wow, that's a hard one there. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So what Doc taught us there is, you get life by losing it. So there's kind of a theme here about putting yourself down. If you've read about Paul, you're going to kind of get an idea of how this connects to him. So the last one for now, let's go to 2 Timothy 2:12. Once I can find it, amen. All right, 2 Timothy 2:12. I'll get Brother Ricky McGlam to read. Oh, 2 Timothy. Sorry. I probably said first. 2 Timothy 2:12. Amen. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. So we were always taught, you reign by suffering now. So all that kind of connects in, and we're going to hit it with Paul. Now I know we don't have to, for our salvation, go out and suffer, like the Christians in the country of Chad right now are, or over there in Uganda and all those places are suffering. I think it was Voice of the Martyrs I was just looking at, a little subscription. If you don't get Voice of the Martyrs, you should subscribe to it. It's free, but it shows you the persecuted church across the world. I don't know if it's every month or every other month. And their doctrine isn't 100% correct, but if you're reading your Bible and praying, you should be able to discern. But it's neat, the stories of these Africans in the Sudan and that area that are being killed because the Muslims and the different groups are coming in there, and they're killing Christians. So what are the Christians doing there? Are they hiding? No, they're not hiding. They're painting crosses on their houses, and they're writing scripture on their houses. So when the Muslims come into town, they're getting killed. In America, Christians aren't getting killed, but we hide. We hide the scripture. We hide. I'm not much on a cross, but I understand what it is. It's an electric chair to me, but Jesus got off the cross, amen. He's not on anymore. But here we have no excuse, but in those countries, they're not afraid to suffer for Jesus Christ. They were under bondage, literal bondage, a lot of them, in slavery and different things. Then they realize they were under spiritual bondage, and they get saved. They become a new creature. And it's really wild because it doesn't happen a lot in America. It does happen some. And I'm joking. It happens a lot more, but I don't see it as much as I'd like to. But in other countries, when people get saved, you see a 180. They actually become a new creature. There's something different. Here we get saved. We're still smoking. We're still doping. We're still watching the same shows. We're still listening to the same music. How in the world are you different? Are you saved? You know, if you are saved, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. It's simple as that. I don't care what it is, what your sins are, you got to get them right with God. Because if you're willing to suffer right now for Jesus Christ, maybe it'd be turning the TV off for 20 minutes a night. Maybe it'd be smoking one less cigarette a day till you can get rid of it. Even though a lot of people can drop stuff cold turkey. But I don't understand. Here we are in America, we have it so easy. I tell my daughter all the time, most of the suffering we're going to do as Americans is just going to be people looking at us like we're crazy. That's it. Most people, yesterday there was a bunch of people out holding scripture signs and Bibles. People are afraid. They're afraid of Christians. They're afraid of the shame they feel because they know they're not doing right. They know there's a God. That's why they get angry. You know, the guy will drive by and he'll do a gesture to a couple of the girls or ladies or yell at them because, you know, it makes them feel like a man to yell at a kid. He won't stop and get nose to nose with you and talk to you like a real man. So it's kind of funny, though, but I always tell people when you're witnessing and door knocking, people are afraid of you. There's no reason for you to be afraid of them. But you don't want to be ashamed. So if the only suffering we're going to do now is a little bit of rejection from the world, which is of the devil, and if the only suffering we're going to do now is maybe going a little bit longer without taking a drink or a little bit longer without watching a show or a little bit longer without reading a post, if we can suffer and do something for Jesus Christ now, you're going to get rewarded for it here as well as later. It's an amazing thing. So let's go on and look a little more about Paul here. Let's go to verse 3 in Romans 9, verse 3. Now, Romans 9 gets a little tough. It's written for the Jews. So we're going to hit some things here, and you got to take your time when you're reading, and you got to compare scripture with scripture. So Romans 9, we're going to read verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So the trick is, and this is where Dr. Ruckman ruined me, not by some of his personal things that I don't always agree with, or his taste, or his iced tea rules, and all that kind of stuff, not drinking after 12. But Dr. Ruckman ruined me, because I already had some of it in me, but he brought it out more. Pay attention to the words. Pay attention to the words. Alex stands up and starts screaming and yelling at me. I'm not going to get mad at Alex. I'm going to listen to what he's saying. Maybe he's screaming, my foot's on fire. I need help. Half the people in the church are going to be offended because he raised his voice and he's yelling. And that's mean. And that's bad. And that's wrong. Why? Because that's what the world says. That's what my TV show says. That's what my Facebook says. Listen to the words. My wife had a grandfather. He's dead now. He got saved right before he died. He had a stroke. After his stroke, he had to learn to speak again. He had trouble speaking, except if he was screaming and cursing, and then they came out fine. So most of the time, Mr. Bobby, because that was he was lost at the time, that's what he would do. He would yell and be loud, and it would be laced with profanity. People that didn't know him, as soon as they heard the yelling, they got upset. But if they would just listen to the words, the profanity was horrible and it was wrong, but in between that was him, he needs a cup of water and he can't get it because he fell or whatever it was. But we get so sensitive to crazy things, we don't listen. So looking here, listening to what we're reading in verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed. So here's Paul not saying that I'm going to do it, not saying that I want to do it, but that he could wish himself to, but he's not. He's not saying he is. He couldn't if he wanted to anyway. So he didn't say hope or want. And Brother Joe just hit it when he was doing Romans 8. I'm going to get Brother Joe to read Romans 8, verse 35 through 39. So this is Paul that had just written this, and then right afterwards, now he's saying something else. All right, Brother Joe.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.
Yeah, read all the way to 39 if you don't mind.
Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. So everyone was intently listening to Brother Joe. What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. So Paul knew that. So Paul wasn't saying he wanted it or was going to happen. So Paul had a burden for his people. Really quick, let's look at Romans 11, 13. Brother Alex, I want you to read Romans 11, 13. All right, so what did he just say? He was an apostle of the Gentiles. Let's go to Romans 15, verse 16. Romans 15, verse 16. I'm going to harass Sister Emily. Amen. So in those two verses, who's Paul's focus supposed to be per God? Gentiles. That's what he's told to do. So Brother Wyatt and Brother Michael were both just here missionaries. Brother Wyatt's called to Tanzania, and he's been there for 21, 22 years, I think. Brother Michael's on deputation to go to the Republic of Georgia, just outside of Russia, by Turkey. That's where they're called to go. When they were here, they were still witnessing to people. They were still handing out tracts. They were still talking to people in the store. But they're not staying here and focusing on that because they believe that the Lord's called them to go to that place. Paul was called to go to the Gentiles. But boy, Paul wanted to help his people because he loved his people. So let's look at this here real quick. Paul had a burden for his people, but we just read he was called to the Gentiles. We know from what he's speaking about here and how he's writing that he had a passion to see Israel saved. So I think it's four times. We're going to go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And I'll call on Derek's wife, Miss Jessie. Oh, I didn't tell you that, did I? Acts 20, 22, 23, and 24.
And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying the bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen. So here's Paul saying where he's going, and he knows he's not supposed to go. But he's trying to go anyway. He wants his people to be saved. So he's going against what the Lord wants. He was warned here not to go, being bound and all that. Let's go to Acts 21:4. All right, if you really want to read, and I haven't called you, raise your hand. Brother Chris. Brother Chris, I want you to read Acts 21, verse 4. Job. So he just said through, they said, the disciples are telling him, hey, the Lord's told us you're not supposed to be going. All right, Brother Mel, can I get you to read verse 5, 21, 5 in Acts? So, here Paul was just told not to go, and in verse 5 it says, he departed and he went. And you keep on reading, he goes anyway. So he's told no and he goes. Paul didn't have a call to go to Jerusalem. He had a burden to go to Jerusalem. His call was to go to Israel. Let's look at a warning here, Acts 21. Someone else raise your hand if I haven't called on you yet. Brother Chad, read Acts 21, 10 and 11. So Paul gets another warning here, and Brother Mike Babowski, read 12 and 13. All right, so Paul has a burden, but not a call. They're telling him not to, but you know what he's saying? I'm going to go lay in the railroad tracks and do what I want. If you have a call to go somewhere and you don't do it, but you have a burden for something and you do it anyway and something goes wrong during that burden, the Lord may protect you, but it's your own fault because you're going against what you're supposed to be going with here. So this is Paul here. Let's look at one more. Acts 22:18. Acts 22:18. So anyone else, raise your hand if you want a shot. Brother Mike. So here, he's Holy Spirit's telling him to get out. And let's look at his response here. I'm going to pick on Brother Eric. Riley, 22, Acts 22, 19. Read on down to 22. So here Paul's arguing with God and saying, I'm going to go because of this and this and that, just like we do. So we want to understand that Paul has a burden for his people, but he's called to go to the Gentiles. So in verse 3, Romans 9:3, it says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So the word accursed, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. And I'll get Brother Eric's wife, Ms. Sherry, to read. 2:14. So, hold on a second here. Let's go over to, read 15 and 16 too, I'm sorry. Okay, so here, who's it say killed the Lord Jesus? The Jews. So now he's supposed to still witness to them. It says, of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So hold on a minute here. Let's go on back. Let's go to Galatians 1. So Galatians 1, Brother Squeaking, I get you to read 8 and 9. Yes, sir.
But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
All righty, let's go over to Exodus real quick. Exodus 32. Exodus 32, 31 and 32. Brother Jack Payton. So, we just were reading in Romans about Paul, for I could wish that myself were accursed, which we know he can't be, and he wasn't going to be, because he didn't say that he was hoping or wanting, but Moses did a similar thing for the people. And Brother Jack just read it. It said, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which I was written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever have sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So Moses had the same desire as Paul. So Paul has a lot of attributes or qualities that a pastor or someone who is a leader should have. So Moses, of course, is a perfect example of a leader of a church. So today we're blessed at our church, because our pastor has grace, but he has doctrine. There's a lot of churches out there where people have grace, but no doctrine. And their grace really isn't grace. It's just a feel-good thing. So just to understand Paul, and what's, as we get into some things here, what is grace? So grace is Webster's 1828, and we'll finish with this here. It's appropriately the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from him. So let's look at Romans 11:5. Romans 11:5 says, even so then at this present time also is our remnant according to the election of grace. So grace, we're going to go into some things with Paul here. And the word election we want to be careful of. We don't have time right now. Next week we're going to go over that. But the word election, a lot of times, is talking about the Jews. And you have to be careful because there's some Christians out there that apply the whole book to them. How do you know who they're talking to? But what the book says, I mean, who it's written to. You have to remember who it's written to and what they're talking about. We can take one verse out of context and we can justify any sin in the world we want to do. You name it, we can justify it. I know a lot of people that do it because they have one verse, they preach a message on that one verse, and the people in the church or on the street or in the nursing home or in the hospital, wherever it is, have no idea what the book says. So they hear that one verse and like, wow. So there are verses about people losing salvation. Doesn't apply to us. You got to read it. He's talking to the Jews during a tribulation period. Old Testament, how could the Old Testament know about the cross and Jesus Christ when his own disciples and the Pharisees and all there, them didn't understand it all until after it happened? So we have some churches teaching you've got to look forward. The Old Testament people were the saved, the same that we were saved. No. If the Old Testament was saved the same way we were saved, why did Jesus have to die? The Old Testament, it was works and faith. A lot of works. A lot of works. Don't get me wrong. I wish we had works today. It would keep me cleaner and keep you guys cleaner. And the sad thing is we should be clean. We just want to be cleaner, though. We don't want to be clean. So we're going to go through next week. We'll go through more about Paul. We're going to hit in some different things. But you got to remember when you're reading your Bible, you got to take your time sometimes and stop and say, what does this mean? Sometimes you're not going to know what it means. Just keep on reading. And you read through your Bible, and you read through your Bible, and it might take a couple times. You show up for Sunday school. You show up for church. You're not out in the hallways. You're not in the bathroom. You're not, like, hiding in a classroom just to get out of being in church or hiding outside. But you just get in, and you're reading. And the Lord's going to open something up, something the pastor says or someone says, and things are going to start to connect. That's pretty cool. This whole section's here written to Gentiles, but right here, the Lord stops it, and now he's talking to the Jews. I know that because back here, this verse says this, and up here, this verse says this. It's scripture with scripture. God made it pretty simple for us, and he had a desire that we were going to research and read. Now, today, people, I hate it when they say, I have no time to read my Bible. They don't miss a meal. They don't miss their favorite TV show. I think the average person's over, 2 hours a day on Facebook? The latest, like, census said. So if you're, I'm only an hour on Facebook a day, that means there's someone else out there who's, like, 3 or 4 hours. So it's crazy, but no one has time for the book. Oh, brother, it's really hard. I know somebody who had no education, and he learned to read. Why can't you? Everyone in here, I think, pretty much can read better than someone I know who didn't know much about reading. But when you have a heart desire to do something, you're going to do it. So we know your heart's desire, but what you do with God's book, amen, what you do with his son. A lot of my family's lost. Well, not a lot, I shouldn't say. A lot of them got saved over time, but I still have a lot of family I feel like that's lost. But they have no desire to know Jesus Christ. They have no desire for the truth. But the sad thing is they're lost on their way to hell, but they live a relatively clean life compared to most Christians. So when you're talking to people and you're asking prayer and you're going out and doing things, what do you have different to offer them? Because the world can't see if Jesus is inside of you. All they're going to see is what comes out of you. So how you speak and how you act and what you do, well, I guess you'd have to read it to believe me and look at it. But Lord, I just love you. I just thank you for my church, Lord. I thank you for people, Lord, that have a desire, Lord. We all make mistakes, Lord. I ask you to help us be like David, Lord, and just be well-pleasing to you, Lord. When we mess up, Lord, just to admit it, to stand up and get back in the fight. God, there's so much going on, Lord. We have it so good. We're so spoiled, Lord. I know that the TV and the music and the friends and all the different things in this world tell us we're supposed to feel bad about everything that's going on, but compared to the rest of the world, Lord, we have it so good. We're so fortunate. We're so blessed. We have so much at our fingertips. Help us to stay in your word. Help us to get closer to you, Lord. Help us to truly be a help to someone else, Lord. We can't be a help to someone else just because we want to feel good, Lord. We truly have to want to help someone else, and then we'll feel good later. But please, God, help us to do right. Help us to be Christ-like. Be with the services this morning, Lord, any singing or preaching or teaching or devotion, Lord, or whatever goes on, Lord, please be with it. Again, we just love you and we thank you. Save that soul nearest to hell. In Jesus' name, amen.